Together from the Bible. So please, if you have a Bible, do follow along. So it's Luke chapter 12. There are some in the pews. You'll be able to find it. Luke chapter 12. It's in the New Testament. And the Bible is God's word to us. It presents Jesus to us. And it's through the Bible, God by his Spirit brings life to the spiritually dead, changes disobedient people, brings hope to the hopeless, rebuke to the sinful. It's a preaching and teaching of this book that is God's strategy for the longevity of this church. If this church is still going to be around in another 136 years, it will depend on our and future generations' attitude to this book, whether they meet Christ in this book or go elsewhere for their spirituality. So let's read together Luke 12, begin to read at verse 13. Here we go. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." They told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not run out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let's pray before we think on these words. Father, just help us to concentrate, help us to learn what you have to say to us. May this time edify us. May you give us spiritual life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were here last week, you'll know that we are going through the Gospel of Luke. And last week we did part A, and this is part B of the whole of chapter 12, right into chapter 13, verse 9. So this is the whole section we're covering. And what we're looking at in this passage is how Jesus calls out the fact that so often as people, we are too short-termist. That is, we look at the here and now and we don't have a long-term view. So last week in part A, we were thinking about the fact that people all too often are more concerned about having people's approval rather than God's approval. It is much more important to do what God wants and have his approval than have people's approval. That's what we looked at last time. Part B, today, what we're thinking about is the fact that your soul matters more than your wallet. This is part B. Your soul matters more than your wallet. So we're talking about money. We actually talk about money very little in church, which is surprising, really, when it's such a big part of our lives, isn't it? You know, it shapes so much of our time, our thoughts and desires are often all wrapped up in money. So it'll be really helpful for us this morning to get some good biblical Christ-honoring wisdom from the Bible on money. And I'm glad all the children are in for this as well, because our culture shouts such loud messages. It'll be really helpful for us this morning as we think about money and wealth and our attitude for it. It's also great to be thinking about it on Anniversary Sunday, because it is such a big part of our lives. It's something that we do want to get right as individuals and as a church. I don't know if you notice the world's message. It's very, very clear. Well, the Western culture's message anyway. Without money, you can't buy those things that will make you happy. Have you seen all the adverts? All the adverts, it's very, very crafty. Their gospel, so their good news message, is if you have our product, then you'll have the shiniest hair around and everyone's going to think you're amazing. Or you'll have the best car around and you'll never get stuck in a traffic jam and life will be amazing. Or if you have our trainers, you'll just be able to run faster than anybody else and your life will be amazing. Or if you buy our food, whatever it is, you know, life will be amazing. So their gospel is, have our product, life will be great. You'll be satisfied, you'll be secure, you'll be happy, whatever the product is. But by the way, it's going to cost you. So you're going to have to give us some of your money. Jesus, here in Luke 12, did you notice, just right at the beginning there, in verse 13, someone asks him a question or asks him to do something. Somebody, he's not having his inheritance shared with him properly by his brother. And so he comes to Jesus, and we assume it's a right request in some ways. He's asking for what's rightfully his. He says, Jesus, get my brother to share with me the inheritance. And off the back of that request, Jesus tells a parable. And the parable is all about a man who works hard and is successful. Because of his hard-working attitude and his success, he is very, very wealthy. Now, Jesus is not condemning his hard work and his skill. If you work hard and you're good at what you do, you will probably be successful. So Jesus is not condemning hard work and skill. Instead, the man in this parable, his entire life revolves around his work. He is successful, and so he decides to expand his business. And then notice, if you just look down in verse 19, after expanding his business, he decides to take early retirement. Early retirement. Now, we don't know how old he is, but if you went and asked somebody in Ashton or in the UK, do you think being able to retire in your mid-40s and taking life easy for the rest of your life and just, you know, having a great time, do you think that's a desirable thing? I think most people would say yes, wouldn't they? What about if you asked yourself that question? You might say, well, the only thing better than that would be retiring in my mid-30s. Why wait till mid-40s? Retire early, just, you know, live the dream life. Someone once wrote, in the modern Western culture, the main idol is self, the main doctrine is autonomy, and the central act of worship is being entertained. So that's the dream, isn't it? Retiring early and just being entertained for the rest of my life through holidays or TV or sport or fishing or whatever it is. Being entertained. Now, don't think the visual aids are over this morning. They're going to get better. Okay, here we go. No, the visual aid isn't the stool. The stool is to just fasten it on. Here we go. You may have seen this before a few years ago. If you come to Baseline, you've seen it. Here we go. A treasure chest. And there's only two keys for this. And both of them are at my house, so we're not getting into this treasure chest this morning, unless anyone's bought some bolt croppers or something to get that padlock off. Now, this treasure chest for us this morning is going to represent the man in this story and this way of life of just living for riches. And hopefully, it's going to help us see that to be more concerned about your wallet or your treasure chest, if you have one, rather than your soul, is a foolish thing. Because in this passage, Jesus gives us nine reasons. Yeah, it's a 9-point sermon. Nine reasons why, nine reasons why it is foolish to pursue riches above the wealth of your soul. And some people in this room are going to help me with this, because stuck underneath some people's pews is an envelope. So I'd like you just to look under. Don't worry, if you're more than four rows back, don't worry, you're probably safe. See if you can find an envelope. If you can, you can open it, if you can find one. So the rules are, if you want to open it, you do have to be willing to bring it to the front. If you're not willing to do that, just pass it on to someone else who is. Just not yet, though, Joe. Just take a seat. So put your hand up if you found one. Do we have now? Oh, Tony's got one. Well done. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Oh, well, we'll see how many we get to. Hopefully there's nine. Maybe we need to look again. I'm not sure. We'll see. So I'd like you to open them and just put your hand up if you have one in a moment, and we'll see the first reason. And if you want to tell me what it says on your bit of paper, that's even better, but don't worry, that's optional. You don't have to do that. You can keep the gold coin as a little souvenir, reminder about what we were talking about this morning. Don't eat it now, though, unless your parent gives you permission. Okay, so who would like to come up first with theirs? Just put your hand up. Come on, Christopher. Are you brave enough to read it out for us? Yeah, great. Okay, so you want to read this out for us?
You are a fool to pursue riches because you don't take it with you. Luke chapter 12, verse 20b. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself.
Great. Thank you, Christopher. Leave that with me. You can go back to your seat. Thank you. So one of the reasons why Jesus says you are a fool to make your life all about riches is because you don't get to take it with you. So if you've got a Bible, please look down at verse 20, 20b. It says there, then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? I think it was the Pharaohs, wasn't it, who thought you got to take all your riches with you. That's how they were buried with all this wealth around them, thinking they could take it with them into the afterlife. Jesus says, not true. You're a fool to just be concerned about amassing riches, because when you die, you leave it. You do not take it with you. So it only benefits you for what? 70, 80, 90, 100 years? Maybe less? So that's one reason why you'll be a fool to pursue riches. You don't get to take it with you. Okay, who would like to come up next? Come on, Joe. Do you want to read it, or would you like me to read it? Would you like to read it? Great, okay. So I'll read the first bit. You are a fool to pursue riches because
God gives you this anyway. Luke chapter 12, verses 31. But seek his kingdom and these will be given to you as well.
Great. Thank you, Joe. So Jesus says you will be a fool to pursue riches because if you set your attention actually on God's kingdom, God will give you all these things as well. So again, just look down your Bible, verse 31. Jesus is talking in that section about not worrying about your life, what you will wear, what you will eat. He said instead, seek first the kingdom of God, and God will provide for your needs. Now, it's a bit more complex than all just like quitting our jobs tomorrow, but very simply, God is a God who provides for us. He meets our needs. So therefore, you will be a fool to make life all about riches when God's going to give you those things anyway when you pursue his kingdom. Okay, do we have someone else? Someone else that's got one that would like, Joel, would you like to bring that out to me? I'll read yours out. Thank you. Well done. You can take a seat. Thank you. It's all right. You can take a seat now. Good lad. Take a seat. Good boy. Thank you. So you are a fool to pursue riches because they get exhausted. Anyone else feel like that in the morning? I'm exhausted. Not that kind of exhausted. Luke 12, 33. Look down your Bibles. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. So Jesus is telling us about two different types of treasure. And one of the types of treasure there, this sort of treasure that we can pursue on earth, gets exhausted. In other words, it runs out. So your money, due to inflation, is worth less today than it is worth tomorrow. Yesterday. Yeah, I'll get it right. Now, of course, inflation's so low at the moment, we barely notice that. But regardless of that, what happens to our money? We spend it, don't we? And it's gone. How many millionaire football players or people who have won the national lottery do we read about or hear about that are bankrupt? You think, how's that possible? Having all that money and then they get bankrupt. It's possible because these things get exhausted. they run out. And so therefore, we'd be a fool to make them our life's goal. Okay, who's next? Who else? Like, come on, Steph. In fact, save you getting out. I'll bring the microphone to you. There you go.
You are a fool to pursue riches because God says you are a fool too.
Oh, yeah, good, good.
Luke chapter 12, verse 20, but God said to him, you fool.
Yeah, thank you. So this one is the, like, summary one of them all, if you like. Thank you, Steph. A really important one. God, who is the wisest being there is, says to the person who was pursuing riches, you fool. You fool. So would you like God's assessment of your life to be, you fool? That was a foolish way to live. That's what Jesus says about pursuing riches. If you pursue riches, God thinks you're a fool. I think that's probably the summary one of them all. Okay, who's next? Who else has one? Tony again. I'll bring the microphone to you. Save you coming out.
You are a fool to pursue riches because thieves steal it. Luke chapter 12, verse 3. Provide purses for yourselves that no one that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where thieves come near.
Great, thank you, Tony. I'll just take that one. You can have the envelope as well as a gold coin. Okay. I don't know if anyone saw on the news earlier this week, there was a lady, a cash machine in Manchester, who was drawing out some money, and a guy came and stole £175 off her. That guy then was rugby tackled by someone in the street. He was made to eat pavement when he got rugby tackled, and then about four or five people landed, jumped on top of him and kept him pinned down till the police arrived. Thieves take money, riches. So Jesus says, you're a fool to pursue and make life all about these sort of riches, because people can take this off you. Your car can be stolen. Your money can be stolen. So you're pinning all your hopes on something that can be taken away from you. Absolutely crazy. Okay, so we've had five. There should be four more. Okay, do we have another one? Does someone have? Does Lydia have one? Do you want to pass it to me, Lydia, to read? Great, thank you very much. Here we go. You are a fool to pursue riches because it gets destroyed. So look with me at Luke 12, verse 33. Again, same verse we've already looked at two times already. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. So Jesus says it's a foolish thing to pursue riches because riches can be destroyed. It talks about moths eating things. I had a suit that I was checking not too many months ago, seeing if it needs to go to the dry cleaners. Got it out of the cupboard. It was full of moth holes. That's what happens. Moths eat things. Now, they don't eat your car, but but cars go rusty, don't they? Houses need fixing. All these things that we pin our hopes on just constantly wear out. The games console just doesn't work anymore. Things just tear and rip and get moldy. We'd be a fool to pin all our hopes on them because they get destroyed. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do we have any more? I'm going to have to go and read them off my list instead. Never mind. The cleaners are going to have great fun this week as you get three chocolate. Oh, no, there's one up here, isn't it, that I've saved. So we're just missing two. I'll bring my list down with it. Oh, yeah, this is a great one. Verse 15. It says in verse 15, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So you're a fool to make life all about money because your value is not based on the amount of money you have in your bank account. How many celebrities that have it all do we hear say things like, I just felt so empty, so worthless. We pin all our hopes on it, but this does not consist. This isn't what life is about, Jesus says. Now, what about this one? I'm going to go back to my Bible for this. This is great. Look at verses 35 right down to verse 48. In this section, Jesus is talking about the day he's going to return. Now, it's interesting. Why is he talking about his return in the context of riches? It's because at his return, Jesus is going to want to know how we've lived. Now, notice in verse 47, it says, this is what. So, in the parable, there is a man who is looking after some servants. He's supposed to feed them and provide for them. But instead of doing that, he starts to take their food and drink and basically have a great big party for himself. He starts to beat the servants. So instead of looking after them, he abuses them. And then this is what the result is, verse 47. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. Wow, sobering words. When Jesus returns, the person that doesn't live the way that Jesus wants them to will actually receive judgment. So you're a fool to make your life all about your possessions because Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Final one. This is my favorite. You are a fool to pursue riches because there is a better treasure. There is something better than all this stuff. So chapter 12, verse 33, again. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. Do you see what Jesus is saying in that verse? There is a heavenly treasure, a treasure that lasts forever and ever and ever. That is treasure that comes through knowing Jesus. So this morning, I'd like us all to ask ourselves a question. What is my treasure? What is it that my heart longs for? You'll notice that language in verse 34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Maybe some questions to help you think about this. Maybe, how often do you find yourself, adults, on the online banking app? How often do you find yourself daydreaming about when you save up a certain amount of money? Or how about how obsessed you are with a particular item that you will stop at nothing until you've saved up and you can afford it? Or how about picking a job purely on the money or salary it offers? How you answer them questions maybe helps you to understand your heart somewhat. I heard of a bloke, it's a true story, a young man. He was working for a firm and he was headhunted by another company. And this other company offered him a salary significantly higher. I think it was almost twice as much as what he was on. He spoke to one of his fellow Christians and he said to him, "What do you think I should do about this job offer?" And this Christian said to him, "Well, what's your aim in life? What's your life about? What are you trying to do?" And he said, "Well, I want to see God's kingdom extended. I want to see people come into faith in Jesus Christ." And this man said back to him, "Well, how are you doing that?" And he said, "Through building relationships and seeking to share Jesus through those relationships." And this man said, "Well, will this new job help you to do that?" And he paused and he said, "Well, I guess all those relationships I've made will be lost and I'll be starting from scratch." And actually, that guy chose not to take that new job offer. Now, that doesn't mean that was the right or wrong thing to do, but at least those questions were going on in his mind. I wonder if you think in such a way when making such big decisions. Or does your decision process go more like, "Well, if I have that extra salary, I'll be able to get a bigger house, a newer car, and have an extra holiday"? Is that how your thought process goes? What is your treasure? What matters to you? The kingdom of Christ or the size of the flat screen television? Sinners being eternally rescued from hell or whether you have alloy wheels on the car? Giving your life into the service of King Jesus or which holidays you will go on this year? We must realize that our soul is more important than our wallet. Now, if anyone had a right to talk about these things, it's the Lord Jesus, that penniless preacher from Nazareth. You might say, "Well, what right does he have to talk about money? What qualifies him to speak about when he didn't have any?" Well, such was Jesus' kindness and goodness. He left the riches of heaven. For our sakes, he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. See, Jesus knows that our souls are much more important than our bank balances. our eternal destination is more important than anything else. If you make it to the pearly gates with one penny to your name or £1 million to your name, that will have no bearing on your eternal state. Now, as we start closing this morning, what's the remedy to all this? If you're somebody that recognizes that actually this is often the way, the thing I'm pursuing, this treasure has my heart, this is what dominates most of my thought life and what I'm about, what's the remedy? How do I move beyond that? Well, part of the remedy is just to think about these things. Spend time reading these verses again and thinking about what that means. Allowing that to sink into our hearts. Eternalizing the fact that thieves can steal it. That God gives what we need. That we don't take it with us. That they get exhausted. That there is a greater treasure. Think about that. But then Jesus also gives us a very practical remedy in this passage. I don't know if you noticed it. It's in verse 33. Jesus says, the remedy for being obsessed with money is to sell your possessions and give to the poor. So Jesus says the way to move beyond this, the remedy, what helps liberate our hearts from being obsessed with money, is actually giving it away, passing it on, using our stewardship to help other people. Now, what a challenge. I wonder if we're doing that this morning as individuals. Some of us are so obsessed by how many savings we have that actually giving some of it away would liberate us. Others of us are just poor stewards with our money. We just go and buy things, not necessarily massive things, just loads of little things, just wasting it because we have wrong priorities. We need to come to God and ask him to help us to be good stewards of the things that he's given us. That's through giving our money away. We can give it specifically from this passage to the poor, from the rest of the Bible. We can give to the local church. Now you might wonder, well, how much do I give away? That's a really good question. How much money should I give away? The Apostle Paul says that there isn't a set limit. It isn't a case of give this much away. The Apostle Paul says he wanted the people he wrote to be cheerful in their giving, not to give because they have an arm twisted up their back, but to give prayerfully and sacrificially. He said the standard is not anything from the Old Testament. It's not a number. It's actually the standard is now the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the sacrifice of Jesus and what he gave, then prayerfully decide how much you should give. And God will bless you. Not in some health, wealth, prosperity way, but you will grow more like the Lord Jesus. Now, as we close, I want to read another one of these people out of this book. We've been looking at these. We've looked at two, I think, over the last few weeks. One was Augustine. I think before that, we looked at William and Catherine Booth together. Well, this is a lady called Mary Jones, who some of you will have heard of. And this is what we read. Have you got a favorite book? Why is it so special? Is it the pictures or the story or because someone special gave it to you? Mary Jones had a favorite book. Her favorite book was the Bible. She knew the Bible could teach her all about God, but Mary couldn't read it herself. There was no school in her village to teach her, so Mary prayed and prayed and prayed, and a school was built. Mary learnt to read. But Mary didn't have a Bible. Her family was too poor to buy one. So Mary worked and worked and worked to get money to buy her own Bible. But there was nowhere in her village to buy a Bible. So Mary had to go to a town where she could buy one. In those days, there were no cars or trains or bikes. And she was too poor to have a horse. Mary had to walk and walk and walk. She walked all the way over the mountains to find the man who could sell her a Bible. Her feet hurt. She was very tired. She had no money left. But at last, she had her very own Bible to read. She was so happy. Mary really knew that the Bible is the best book ever. Psalm 19, verse 10 says this, God's words are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Let's pray together before we sing our final song. Father, we can see so much stuff around us in this world. Most of us have some money. And Father, it can be so tempting to try and amass it, to hunger after it, to think we'll be satisfied if we have more of it. And Lord, we need your grace to liberate us and help us to see what life is truly about. Father, we know there's nothing wrong with money in its rightful place. But as soon as we love it and desire it and make it our life's goal to pursue it, then it's a dangerous thing that will ruin us. Help us to see there is a greater treasure that lasts forever and ever and ever, that the moths can't get out, that doesn't get exhausted. And that is the treasure of the Lord Jesus and being in a relationship with him. Help us all to truly understand what that means. Lord, please work your grace in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.